You are tuned in to Independent 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. We are community-powered radio with volunteer hosts sharing their soundtrack of Northern Minnesota. Up next, History of Jazz with volunteer Paul Kivy.
Thank you. That's organist Jimmy Smith with Donald Bailey behind him on the drums. The tune is called The Champ, and he is as fine a moment as there is in jazz organ, in part because of how little precedent it had. The story of how Smith got to that moment is amazing. Jimmy Smith from the greater Philadelphia area was primarily a piano player growing up. He bought a Hammond organ in 1954 and rented out a Philadelphia area warehouse just to learn how to best use the new machine. He basically sequestered himself for a full year in that warehouse, determined to learn every trick on how to make the organ a jazz instrument. The result is what you just heard. Blue Note's Alfred Lion heard him not long after he emerged, and Smith recorded several dozen albums in the next 8 years. His biggest hit was the one you just heard, The Champ, from the album of the same name. Welcome to the Recorded History of Jazz. I'm Paul Kivi, and today in our 44th show, we will hear about the tragic end of Clifford Brown, but only after he jammed with Sonny Rollins. And up first, our first extended composition of Charles Mingus. Bassist Charles Mingus is to some degree the reason this program exists. Back in high school, I would check out records from the public library and decide whether I liked them or not. Usually, I could tell pretty quickly what I liked. Cannonball Adderley's 1960 album, Them Dirty Blues, comes to mind. And I could also tell what I didn't like. I will withhold names to protect the innocent or guilty, whatever that may be. When I got to records by Mingus, I couldn't make up my mind. I could tell there was something there worth listening to, but I couldn't say that I exactly liked it either. It was hard to wrap my head around. I learned that his idol was Duke Ellington and decided to go back to the early Duke on the OK label and then to Louis Armstrong's Hot Fives and Sevens in the 1920s, and I thought that would prepare me to evaluate Mingus' work. Of course, I loved that 1920s jazz, and eventually I did work my way back to the 1950s in the extended compositions of Charles Mingus, many of which I now love as well. Here is the first of those I have chosen for this show, and I hope that you can learn to appreciate it, too. In fact, I hope as you are listening right now that you give it a good try. This is Pithecanthropus erectus. Thank you. Pithecanthropus erectus, from the album of the same difficult name, recorded January 30th, 1956. Charles Mingus, composer and bass, Jackie McLean, alto sax, J.R. Monterose, tenor sax, Mal Waldron on piano, Willie Jones on the drums. You are listening to the one and only Recorded History of Jazz. This is volume 44, featuring music early in the year 1956. Early in his career, pianist Art Tatum mostly performed solo, but in the last couple years of his life, he participated in more group sessions. Here he joins clarinetist Buddy DeFranco with Red Callender and Bill Douglas providing rhythm on This Can't Be Love. Thank you. Don't Mean a Thing Unless It Ain't, If It Ain't Got That Swing, from an album called The Jazz School, featuring trumpeter Clark Terry and tenor sax Paul Gonsalves, with Porter Kilbert on baritone saxophone, Chubby Jackson on bass, and Eugene Miller on the drums. Art Tatum and Buddy DeFranco's This Can't Be Love before that. Trumpeter Clark Terry, who you just heard, was from St. Louis. He first recorded in 1947 and recorded for the final time in 2008, spending 10 of the years in between with the Tonight Show Band when Johnny Carson was a host. We will hear his hilarious vocal hit Mumbles in the mid-1960s when he was a member of that band. His co-leader on that tune, Paul Gonsalves, will have one of the great solos in music history live at the Newport Jazz Festival in the summer of 1956, which will lead off the show two episodes from now. Which show? The Recorded History of Jazz, of course. Friends Sonny Rollins and Clifford Brown hatched a plan where they would provide backing for each other's albums in 1956. The first of those recording sessions took place on March 22nd and was led by tenor sax Sonny Rollins with trumpeter Clifford Brown and his bandmates, pianist Richie Powell, bassist George Morrow, and drummer Max Roach in tow. This session resulted in the album Sonny Rollins Plus Four. We will hear two cuts, both original compositions by Rollins. First up, Valse Hot. We'll be right back. Waltz Hot, literally Hot Waltz. That's Sonny Rollins with the Clifford Brown Quartet from March 22nd, 1956. Let's hear another from that same session. This is Pent Up House.
Thank you.
That's Pent Up House. Before that was False Hot. Those are two Sonny Rollins compositions with the Clifford Brown Quartet behind him. I'm your volunteer host, Paul Kivi. You are listening to The Recorded History of Jazz. When Sonny Rollins joined the Max Roach Clifford Brown Quintet in 1955, Brown convinced him that heroin didn't make him a better player, not so much by argument, but by example. A widespread belief and or justification for use in the late 1940s, 1950s was that heroin allowed you to tap into deeper reserves of creativity. The thinking went, well, look at Charlie Parker. He does a lot of heroin. Look how good he is. So, of course, a lot of people followed suit, and it was a real epidemic, I think you could say, in the 1950s. When Charlie Parker died, he was mistaken for a 50 to 60-year-old man by the coroner after years of heroin use. He was 34. After observing the brilliance of Queen Living Clifford Brown at close range and contemplating his own mortality, Sonny Rollins checked into a rehab facility in Kentucky and emerged clean for good in late 1955. Determined to show he could be even better sober, Rollins recorded material for 6 albums in 1956, easily the best year of his career. On the album we just heard, Clifford Brown was the sideman. Here, Rollins returns the favor. In fact, the two greats had planned to back each other on a series of albums, but that would tragically never happen. From May 6th, 1956, here's Sweet Clifford. We'll be right back. Sweet Clifford, featuring Delaware native Clifford Brown on trumpet, with Sonny Rollins on tenor sax, Bud Powell's brother Richie on piano, George Morrow on bass, and Max Roach soloing on the drums. Recorded May 6th, 1956. You have found the recorded history of jazz. On June 26th, 1956, shortly after midnight, a car driven by pianist Richie Powell's wife Nancy, bound for a gig in Chicago, missed a turn on the Pennsylvania Turnpike in a rainstorm about 100 miles east of Pittsburgh and fell down a 75-foot cliff. All three people in the car, Mr. and Mrs. Powell and trumpeter Clifford Brown, were killed. It happened that June 26th was Clifford Brown's second wedding anniversary and his now widow LaRue's 23rd birthday, since they had been married on her 21st birthday. Trumpeter Clifford Brown flashed like a meteor across the jazz sky. I said that in a previous show. Of all the many who have died young in jazz, his death to me might be the saddest, because his potential was so large, he had almost certainly not reached his peak, and because his positive attitude was life-changing for many in the heroin-addled world of early 50s jazz. Just ask Sonny Rollins, who continued performing until 2014, 68 years after the death of his friend.